Welcome back to Well, That's Interesting, the Some Good News edition.
Oh my God, finally!
Yes! Yes.
Finally!
Yes.
Finally.
One more time.
Finally!
Yes. Yes, sweet, lovable God.
Jeez.
Today is episode 094. Oh, hey, they're not extinct after all.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
Uh-huh.
I don't even know what it is, and I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Oh, my face already hurts from smiling.
Same. Aww.
My friends, I'm Jill Chacha, and I am with the also not extinct Marissa Riley.
That's me. Not extinct yet. I am still
That's right.
here for another few minutes.
That's right, fuckers.
Who knows? Honestly, who knows with all the terrible news going around, but it's time that we had some
That's
good
right.
news.
We've got some good fucking news.
Yeah.
And if this is your first time listening, welcome to the flock.
Welcome.
Dr. Riley here comes in cold and learns everything in real time, just like you.
It's true. I had no idea what we were going to talk about today, and I actually still don't.
That's right.
I have to know.
That's right.
I have to know soon, Jill.
That's right.
I have to know soon.
Oh, yeah.
Hurry.
Okay, good. Yes, believe it or not, good news comes around every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And today we have two stories of two adorable creatures thought to be lost forever, having succumbed to extinction.
Oh, my God.
But thanks to a few ingenious and stubborn researchers, we now know they've been alive this whole damn time. And,
what?
Yeah, and just avoiding humanity as they should.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay, true story. I am currently watching every Marvel movie ever. That's my goal this week. I could,
this week.
You know, help the poor or help the hungry or help myself. But no, I have chosen to watch everything Disney Plus has to offer in the MCU category.
We all handle our depressions differently.
Yes. Yes. Depression and anxiety.
Yes.
Ooh, but fun. I know, right? But I am currently watching all of the Captain Americas, and I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Boring, Marissa, but not boring because everyone thought Captain America was extinct. Everyone thought he was gone, but really he had just plowed a weird red man's ship. I'll tell you about it later.
Uh-huh.
Red Skull ship into ice. And everyone thought he was dead. And then they found him 70 years later.
Well,
and then the
shit.
Same thing. I haven't finished the Winter Soldier, but it sounds like a similar thing happened with his BFF.
Wow.
Basically, this is the same as Marvel.
Yeah, they totally straight up stole... The second half of our show sounds just like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Bucky Barnes.
What?
Okay. Tell me about the cute creatures.
Okay, yeah. Well, the idea of something hidden underneath is definitely the second half of the show.
Amazing.
That's fucking weird.
Amazing.
Okay. Well, yeah, in the first half of the show, we're going to tell the tale of an ancient breed of singing dog.
A singing dog? Mm-hmm. Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Are you fucking shitting me? I just
totally.
Spit all over
you just see me wipe away?
The face. Yes. She's drenched. I just flooded via my mouth on her. I'm so sorry.
It's totally okay. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about a butt-breathing turtle.
I mean, what more could you want? You know?
This episode has
it all. A singing dog, a butt-breathing turtle.
Yeah.
It's Marvel, terrible Marvel trivia from me, who's not a nerd, just watching because I have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And depression. And I need to put that energy somewhere.
Good. Good.
And it's into super beings.
Yeah. And I put it towards butt-breathing turtles. We all cope.
We are all coping. Tell me more.
We're going to talk about a turtle that could breathe through its butt. And thankfully,
Beautiful. Thankfully,
both of these magnificent beings are still on our planet.
Yes.
Thank God. So let's get into it. What do you say?
I say let's do it.
Let's do it. And to do so, we need to head on over to paradise.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We need to head into the wild highlands of New Guinea.
Oh, by paradise, I thought you meant any Mexican restaurant.
Oh, yes.
But the highlands of New Guinea will do.
Oh, hey. Look, there's many paradise. Many paradise? Paradises?
Paradises.
Paradises.
I don't know.
Mexican restaurants are definitely, definitely paradise.
Oh my God, if you're getting free chips and salsa somewhere, you are in paradise.
Yeah, that's it.
You made it. You're done.
Yeah. That's it.
Turn off your phone.
After this episode.
After this episode. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay, so where in the world is New Guinea for all of my geographically challenged Americans? Don't worry, I've got you. Everyone, imagine Australia.
You got it.
Okay, now hop on a plane and head northeast for about 4 hours.
Okay, wow. All right, here we go.
Yep, and voila, you'll see a large, lush island called New Guinea, and it's divided into three sections. The far west is aptly called West Papua.
Oh.
The center is Papua.
Oh.
And in the east, we have Papua New Guinea.
Oh, I was hoping for East Papa, but you know what? They wanted to
mix it up. So, now, for untold millennia, New Guinea has been the home and the only home to a very special wild dog.
Oh my God.
One that doesn't bark.
Okay.
It doesn't yip.
Okay.
Or yap.
Okay.
The only noises it makes, well, I really can't describe it, so why don't we have a listen?
Yes, please. Yes.
All right, Dr. Marissa, I have a lovely video here of our new best friend.
Amazing, amazing.
Please have a listen. We're all going to have a listen. We cannot escape it. It's very loud. Dr. Marissa, please give us your best description of what this dog looks like.
I mean, if there's one thing I'm good for, it's talking about... how in love with dogs,
yes,
I am.
You're going to want to smush
the face. I feel like that's the most relatable thing, yes, on the internet right now, is that we all love dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get ready to smush. I'll have screenshots of this video if you come along to our social media stuffs and play along. Absolutely. But in the meantime, I'm going to play this.
Oh, my God.
It's very extra.
It's very extra.
All right.
Love extra.
You ready?
Yes.
You ready?
I'm so ready. I'm so freaking ready.
I'm doing great. Here we go.
Pause. I mean, I don't know if y'all heard the same sound I heard, but that is the most relatable sound.
Yeah,
what I'm doing silently every time I leave the house or stay in the house. I am just like,
Yeah, internally, externally.
Yeah, I will describe the dog. The dog is very cute. It's kind of like a...
tan?
It's tan. It's tan. Yeah, it's tan. Mm-hmm. It's dog looking.
it's got a short coat.
I'm trying to think of the way to describe it. Yeah. Like, not like a golden retriever, not a terrier.
It's got a short coat.
It's blonde. Uh-huh. It's got kind of short ears. It sort of looks a little bit foxish.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Foxish. Yeah, and it's got the pointy ears.
Yeah.
It's super cute, and, you know, as you heard, it's like a mix between a howl and, like, an aggravated scream yawn.
Yes!
So, like...
You want to hear a little
like
more?
Like a sigh. Oh, my God, please.
It's really long.
Oh, my God. It's so...
Yeah,
I love it.
There it is. Oh, yeah.
Okay, pause.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it really looks like a wild, like, fox dog.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of big, and it's got those perky ears, and it really is just, like, this seems to be the only sound it can or wants to make.
I get it.
And
I totally get it.
Get it. And it's so cute because you know how a dog will, like, point its mouth to the sky when it howls and then stops when it looks like, you know, sea level or whatever. Yeah. So this will not stop. It will, like, point itself to the sky, and then it will, like, look at the camera and still be howling. Yes. It's so cool. It can maintain that, I don't know what to call it, the sing, the...
Yeah, it maintains the
screech.
The anxiety, yeah.
It maintains the anxiety.
Yes, it does.
Exactly.
It made eye contact and was still screaming.
Yeah. What if I did that too? Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Wow. I can't do it for long. So you looked really nervous. Yes.
I was very scared.
I was scared myself. Okay, tell me more about this dog.
Oh my God, my friends, may I introduce the New Guinea singing dog.
Amazing.
The acronym is NGSD. Like you described, Dr. Marissa, so aptly, they're very striking. They're lean. They're athletic. They got a short coat.
So beautiful.
Yeah. This particular one, like we said, had a white underbelly, tan, and yeah, this look was very common for this canine.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into all the details about this breed, I can't not start with this.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what they look like as puppies.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This needs,
oh, no. I'm going to start screaming again. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this photo will definitely be on our Twitter and Instagram and social media stuff. So please come on by and explode.
I'm bracing myself. Fuck me. I mean, it's just like so cute, yeah. And tired.
It's like,
okay, imagine your typical puppy in its Beanie Baby kind of stage where it's just kind of a little loaf, a little wrinkly loaf. Mm-hmm. Cutie. And then it's just got the pointy ears that are like small triangles. And like, it's you're going to have to just get on the Instagram and look at this.
That's right.
It's really nice.
It's got white socks, everybody.
It's got white socks. Yeah. It's got a little white stripe down its nose. And it's so tired. It needs a hug.
Yeah, it already knows about the world somehow in its eyes. So
Yeah. This is a very like aware of existence, dog.
Yeah. So, Dr. Marissa, would you like to take turns telling the beautiful members of our flock out there a bit more about this wild singing dog?
I mean, nothing in the world would make me happier.
I'm going to start us off. According to SDZWildlifeExplorers.org, quote, as adults, they have a narrow muzzle, petal-shaped ears, and wide cheekbones. Well adapted to hunting in steep areas with thick vegetation, the singing dog's joints and spine are extremely flexible for a dog. They climb and jump like a cat.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, continuing. From the wiki, quote, New Guinea singing dogs are named for their distinctive and melodious howl, which is characterized by a sharp increase in pitch at the start and very high frequencies at the end. Mm-hmm. The howling of these dogs can be clearly differentiated from that of Australian dingoes and differs significantly from that of gray wolves and coyotes.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
To 100%.
Yeah. At the start, the pitch in a howl rises, followed by abrupt changes in frequency. Modulations can change quickly, every 300 to 500 milliseconds or every second.
So it was like, oh. Yeah. Did you like my impression?
It was great.
It was,
I love it. I was like, is there one here now?
Yeah. Right? I deceived myself.
5 to 8 overtones can generally be distinguished in a spectrographic analysis of the howling.
Incredible.
There you go.
All right. Back at, oh my gosh, okay. Yeah. SDZ WildlifeExplorers.org. Nailed it. Quote, I keep spitting on you. So sorry. Okay.
Keep going.
All right. Quote, New Guinea singing dogs are basically a living fossil. They have been around a long time. Fossil records of the species date back at least 6,000 goddamn years.
That's right.
End quote. That's an old breed. Dog.
Breed.
Yes. That's a, yeah. Wow.
That is fucking old. Yeah, my friends, that is a long time. Indigenous of the area have spotted glimpses of these shy dogs seemingly forever. Until the 1970s.
Oh, I love that they're shy.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
They're super shy.
And then they disappeared.
Uh-huh. Now, the 1970s, that decade passed with practically no sightings, year after year. Then the 80s came. The mid-80s, the late 80s, nothing. It was as though they vanished into thin air.
Okay, but do you think people, like, did see them? They were just high because it was the 80s.
Oh,
and so
goodness.
They were like, oh my God, I just saw a dragon. But no singing dogs.
Right.
And yeah.
Dragons 2, dog 0.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally happened. So rumors began to swirl that the wild New Guinea singing dogs were no more. Oh. And then the 90s happened.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Marissa, I'd like to show you a picture of a dog that popped up on the scene in the 90s. Now, compared to what you saw in the video, what or who do they look like to you?
Okay.
This photo will also be on our social media steps. Compare and contrast. Here they are.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Hi. They look like those dogs. This one looks a little fluffier and maybe a little bit more muscular. Mm-hmm. Again, I could relate this to Captain America and his transformation before and after the serum
was
introduced to his system. He was 5'4", and then he became much taller than that. But this dog looks like a bulkier version in a cool way of the other dog.
There you go. Same coloring, though.
Same coloring.
Same coloring as well.
Same adorable, perfect ears.
Yeah.
Snout. Mm-hmm. It might even sing.
Might even sing.
Who knows?
Yes, my friends, a new rumor started to circulate of a dog roaming the Highlands. But to be honest, no one could say for sure if they were just strays or the singing dogs themselves or maybe even a new breed.
Ooh.
Yeah, these pups were just as elusive. And attempts to study them for research was a colossal failure. So these dogs were just given a new name to play it safe. They were called the Highland Wild Dog, or HWD, and researchers did the best they could at the time.
Okay.
Quote, there have been only 3 possible sightings of the HWD in its native range of New Guinea, and there have only been 2 attempts to study the species in the wild. The first was when Robert Bino conducted a field study in 1993, and then James K. McIntyre in 1996. Neither was able to observe any animals, but found what they presumed to be HWD scat, paw prints, urine marks, and predations. And McIntyre reported hearing vocalizations, but with local dogs, with local village dogs present, and no way to verify a genetically pure specimen, the presence of HWDs could not be confirmed. End quote. From the site nghwdf.org. We've got a lot of wild sites
what
today.
What a website. Nailed it. Also, this may or may not be our singing dog friends, but it sounds like there's not enough evidence.
Not enough evidence so far.
Uh-huh.
Yes. In the 90s, that was pretty much that. The New Guinea singing dog was considered extinct, and there was maybe a new dog around? Question mark. And things stayed this way until a wonderfully serendipitous moment in 2016.
Random as fuck.
Fucking random.
Fucking random. 2016.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say tell me more, but I think I'll be telling you more in a second.
That's right. Dr. Marissa, I thought we could take turns reading a delightful description of events as reported by nghwdf.org.
I think that's an amazing idea. All right. In September 2016, Mac McIntyre, we have to talk about that name later, was on an eco tour in Papua Province when he encountered the University of Papua Rapid Survey Team searching for Highland wild dogs.
Invited to join them to view a den site and research and search for dogs. I could read. Invited to join them to view a den site and search for dogs in the remote areas adjacent to Pankakjaya. Mac removed his shoes and crossed a waterway and ascended the slopes leading to the target site. After viewing the den site and exploring at elevation, but failing to find dogs, Mac and the UNIPA team began descending the muddy mountain trail.
Womp womp. Mm-hmm. All right, continuing the quote, Mac's mood was as gray and damp as the weather. His trip was nearly over, and while he had been able to investigate and collect samples from some village dogs in the traditional village of Bonti, he had yet to see any Highland wild dogs. Highland wild dogs.
This is a tough one, man.
Hala Walla Walla. have y'all seen any Hala Walla Walla? Okay, all right, I'm fine. Okay, he had yet to see any Highland wild dogs, despite having heard stories of them being present in the region.
Still barefoot, Mac.
Come on, Mac.
Still barefoot. Mac glanced down to navigate the rain-soaked ground and noticed something odd.
Oh, shit.
There in the mud, next to his barefoot print, were the unmistakable fresh paw prints of a canine.
Hot damn. As Max stared down in awe at the paw prints following his own up the trail, he knew they could only belong to an HWD. The HWD had found him.
That's right.
End quote.
That's right. Amazing.
The hunted hunts the hunter.
There.
Yes. That sounds like something from a book. Is it?
It could be.
Who knows? It's probably from like 80 movies.
Yes, my friends, the dogs found them. And thus began a beautiful relationship of sorts.
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah.
The research team participated in two research trips, the first in 2016 and the second in 2018, both to the base of Pankak Jaya. From their study, quote, the wild dogs were conditioned to approach and enter cage traps over a period of 2 weeks following enticement with crushed coyote glandlure.
Ooh.
Glandlure. And skunk essence. That's great.
I mean, nothing will get me into a cage.
More than that.
More than glandlure and skunk essence. Mm. Hot.
Don't tempt me. Mm. Now, the traps were baited inside and out of the cages. Auditory North American coyote calls were played to attract wild dogs and elicit return howls. Trail cameras reviewed the progress, and after 2 weeks, the traps were set, and the capture campaign was initiated.
Amazing.
Two wild dogs were captured, immobilized, and underwent extensive examinations, including measurements and collection of biological samples.
Amazing. Okay.
End quote.
Okay.
Very important.
Very
now, before
important.
We get into the results, Dr. Marissa, would you like to see some more puppies?
Yes, please! Oh, my God!
I know.
These puppies are a little older. They have the little white socks on.
Yeah.
They're so cute. They're kind of derpy. There's three of them. I highly recommend you look at this picture on our Instagram.
Yep.
And I love them. Yeah. I want them.
Oh, my God.
Can we have them?
Oh, yeah, please. These three pups called Two Socks, Little Red, and Marky were...
Yeah,
I know. We're captured on film sometime between 2016 and 2018. So adorable. They're wild dogs.
Two Socks, Little Red, and Marky. Yeah. I'm going to cry. Oh, dear.
Jesus. So, Dr. Marissa, let's not bury the lead any longer. After collaborating with scientists from the National Human Genome Research Institute, after sequencing the dog's DNA and comparing it to the DNA of captive singing dogs and other random dogs. What the fuck happened?
Oh my God, I would love to talk about it immediately. From Ed Cara of Gizmodo, quote, their new findings published in the journal PNAS.
Mm-hmm. PNAS.
I gonna say it, or is Jill gonna say it? And she did the very nice thing of saying it for me.
Yes.
So their new findings published in the journal Penis appeared to confirm that Highland wild dogs are very genetically close to the captive singing dog population, more than any two breeds of domestic dogs are from one another. Amazing, uh-huh. Amazing, amazing. The dogs are so closely related. The authors say that they belonged to the same original population of wild dogs not too long ago, and the Highland wild dogs are effectively New Guinea singing dogs that managed to survive mostly hidden away from humans all these years.
That's right.
End quote.
They're back.
And they're singing their hearts out.
That's right. And they're
and
fucking
they're
adorable.
It's great.
It's fucking incredible. Yeah. So my friends, they're not extinct after all.
Nope.
And researchers plan to continue surveying this population, including those scampering around the higher elevations where it's believed they're even more genetically distinct from today's common dogs.
Oh my God.
There's even more researchers plan to focus on their singing to get a better understanding of how singing evolved in animals more closely related to humans than to birds.
I do think it's cute that they're calling this singing and not like cries for help. It's what they, I mean, when I make that noise, yeah. it's a cry for help.
It really is.
And I do it in my head, yeah. so no one can hear it, but...
I'm going to call it singing from now on.
That's nice. Yeah, that's great.
Everyone, just call it singing.
On the inside.
Singing on the inside.
I just winked. Okay.
Quote, "It's not just that they're wild and that they represent the last wild population, but they do make this beautiful harmonic sound, which distinguishes them from all other populations of dogs anywhere," said the study co-author Heidi Parker to Ed Cara.
Amazing.
"They're really something quite unique and quite special. And as a species, we don't want to lose them from the face of the earth." End quote.
I am with you. I forgot who said that, but I am with them. I want to keep them on this planet so I can see more of those puppy pictures and hear those
screams
for help.
Thanks for help.
Amazing. Most relatable thing I've ever heard.
Just so relatable. So there you have it, folks. And after the break.
Yes.
A turtle that breathes out of its ass.
Finally.
What a gift.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
Please do.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
When Johann Rahl received the letter on Christmas Day 1776, he put it away to read later. Maybe he thought it was a season's greeting and wanted to save it for the fireside. But what it actually was a warning, delivered to the Hessian colonel, letting him know that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware and would soon attack his forces. The next day, when Rahl lost the Battle of Trenton and died from two Colonial Boxing Day musket balls, the letter was found, unopened, in his vest pocket. As someone with 15,000 unread emails in his inbox, I feel like there's a lesson there. Oh well, this is The Constant, a history of getting things wrong. I'm Mark Chrysler. Every episode, we look at the bad ideas, mistakes, and accidents that misshaped our world. Find us at constantpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, Jill Chacha here from Well That's Interesting, and I am absolutely thrilled to tell you about Spotify for Podcasters. I use it, I love it, and it all started by downloading the free Spotify for Podcasters app, which has all the tools you need in one place to record and edit your masterpiece of a podcast. Spotify for Podcasters also distributes your show to all major platforms, so when you hit publish, your episodes will stream not only on Spotify, but I'm talking about the Apples, the Googles, Stitcher, Good Pods, the other ones. You get the idea. And you can monetize your podcast with no minimum listenership required. You could also set up monthly subscriptions and record ads just like this one. So what are you waiting for? Download Spotify for Podcasters today and start changing the world. Oh, and please, stay interesting. And we're back.
We are so back.
We're so back. And my friends, if you thought you couldn't love Steve Irwin anymore.
Oh my God.
I've got a little story for you.
Stop it.
That's right.
I love Steve Irwin.
Yeah.
And he's dead, right?
He is.
He's super dead.
Super, super dead.
Such a shame. He was so cool. I think there's a generation of people who don't know very much about him.
Yeah.
And didn't get to watch him on TV as a kid.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry. Look him up. He's awesome.
Please do.
Yeah.
Yeah, please do. And then listen to this, because we need to travel back in time to a revolutionary year, 1990.
Talk about revolutionary. What a year.
And we're on the banks of the Burdekin River, and it was here the late Australian conservationist / crocodile hunter / crikey was setting up camp with his dear old dad, Bob.
Stop it. Yep. He was with his dad?
Yep.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh my gosh. Tell me more.
So nothing was out of the ordinary until they saw a pale face poking out from some muddy water.
Oh no.
Yeah. Now, before we get into whose face it was, the Burdekin River, where is that? Well, everyone, imagine Australia once
Again,
more. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. Now point to the northeast corner.
Okay.
And voila, here we are at the Burdekin River in Queensland.
That was easy.
So easy. Now, seeing a mysterious pale face staring back at you in the Australian wild may be scary as fuck to me, but for Steve and Bob, it was something you pick up with your bare hands.
Oh God, that's right. It's no big deal. For us, it's like a seven-part docuseries.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who did it? Who killed them? Who are they? Who are they killing? I don't know.
Yeah, they just picked it up.
Let's just pick it up.
They just picked it up.
Totally fine.
And Dr. Marissa, when they scooped it up, would you like to see whose face that belonged to?
Yes. I want to mention this whole time I've been picturing a dead human body.
Yes,
I realize it's probably not that.
I kind of framed it that way.
100% you did.
Not a dead human. Not a dead anything. It's actually this cute little girl right here.
Oh my God, she's so cute. That's okay,
right.
I am looking at a turtle.
Yep.
And I do have to say, I love turtles. Turtles are great.
They are.
Give them a chance. And yeah, she's really cute. She's a gray turtle. She's got this sort of pink little pig nose.
Yeah.
And I love her. I want to name her Donatella. I named her.
Amazing.
Yes.
It does look like her.
You're actually. Welcome, world.
Especially in the very large lips.
Yes. Yes. Those look unnatural.
Yeah. So please come on by our social media stuff. You'll see a cute green turtle, but a very pink face, which is kind of unusual. And she's a cutie for sure. Dr. Marissa, please do us the honor and tell us, did Steve Irwin just so happen to discover a new species of turtle? And if so, tell us about it.
First of all, he would. Yeah. And second of all, let's talk about it from Beck Crew of AustralianGeographic.com.au. Quote, Bob and Steve took a few quick snaps of the turtle before releasing it back into the river. They sent the photos to Queensland Museum turtle expert John Cann, who made his own trip to the Burdekin, am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. The Burdekin River to spot another turtle and confirm that it indeed was new to science. Amazing. Hey, continuing the quote, what they'd found was one of the largest Australian freshwater turtles to grow to about 6 kilograms or 13 pounds in weight. That strange pale coloring tends to only be seen in the females. The males have a more uniform color all over, end quote. So only the awesome females get to, you know, have this cool pink face situation.
Right.
So desirable.
So desirable.
So adorable. Into it.
So, my friends, Steve discovered a new species which is now named after him. Behold, Irwin's turtle.
Aww, I thought they were going to call all the turtles Steve.
Steve and Stevetta.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks. Oh, if only. If only.
One of the exciting features of this turtle, other than the female's face,
yes,
which is due to hypomelanism, and it's thought to affect about 10% of the female adult turtles.
Interesting.
I mean, other than this, brace yourself.
Okay.
It has nostrils to breathe air, like us.
Okay. Okay.
But this turtle is also able to breathe underwater through its cloaca, or butthole.
I mean, you know, this isn't something I've ever desired or honestly thought of.
Yeah.
But I'm positive it's helpful somehow.
Yes, it's very helpful. Well, yeah, should we get
breathing
into it?
Breathing through your butt.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of how it would be helpful to me because everything's about me. I can't think of a time when it would be helpful. But tell me more about this turtle.
So turtles love breathing through their ass. Let's get into it.
Amazing.
Yes, my friends, the cloaca is actually a one-stop shopping kind of hole.
Amazing. Wow.
It serves as its anal, urinary, and breathing... Oh, and birthing tracts. Excuse me. Yeah, anal, urinary, and birthing tracts. It really does it all.
So it's like a child's impression of what women have down there.
Yes,
and they're exactly. Like, it all comes out one place, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I'm sure you're impressed and probably wondering how in the hell it works. Well, don't worry. I got you.
Amazing.
From Stephen Luntz at IFLScience.com, quote, Queensland freshwater turtles, including Irwin's, have developed a distinctive method of respiration to avoid having to come to the surface too often, thus cutting the risk of becoming someone else's lunch.
Ah!
There you go. They absorb water through their cloaca, and gill-like structures in their digestive tracts capture oxygen.
Amazing.
No known turtle species can survive purely on its anally sourced oxygen. what a sentence. They all have to come to the surface now and then to take in air the usual way. However, bum breathing delays the need to do so. Under the right conditions, some turtles can get 80% of their oxygen needs this way, although the figure is lower for some species. End quote. Amazing.
So this turtle can breathe the usual way through its little mouth and nose.
Uh-huh.
And then when it's underwater, it can breathe through its butt.
Yep.
So it can avoid getting snatched up by predators.
So smart.
You know what? I never thought I'd say this, but doing so many things through the butt actually sounds really organized. It's like...
a lot of species do it. It's crazy.
I mean, if we could change our thoughts on butts in society... specifically buttholes. I think we think quite a lot about butts.
Mm.
But buttholes, if we could do more.
Let's do more for butts, everyone.
This is my campaign.
It's on the last day of Pride Month. Let's do more for buttholes.
Vote me, Marissa Riley, for what's a title? Senator. And I will use buttholes for more stuff.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
this ad has been paid for by... No, but point being, this sounds very organized, and this sounds awesome.
It's working. It's working for this turtle.
Yeah.
But my friends, brace yourself once more. Irwin's turtle hasn't been seen in over 25 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Researchers believed the Burdekin Falls Dam, completed in 1987, might have caused their demise, causing this already muddy water, or this muddy river, to become substantially more muddy and less watery, thus cutting oxygen supplies.
So they couldn't breathe through the butts because of this mud shit.
That's right, the Burdekin Falls Dam.
Sucks.
But, thankfully, it's 2022. We no longer need visual confirmation of species any longer.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Marissa, let's not bury the lead any longer. Tell us, what did researchers do to find out if our butt-breathing friends are still alive?
Let's talk about it. Okay, from IFLScience.com, quote, a paper in the journal BMC Ecology and Evolution has revealed proof the turtle remains present at many locations in the river. The evidence comes in the form of DNA found in water samples collected along the river. Researchers sampled 37 sites along the Burdekin River and its tributaries.
Nailed it.
And the presence of turtle DNA was found throughout the catchment. Until this rediscovery, we didn't have any formal records to prove that the Irwin's turtle was still living in the lower Burdekin River. And that river has changed a lot since the construction of the Burdekin Falls Dam, Professor Damian Burrows said in the statement. It's reassuring to know they are still living there. End quote.
They're here,
you guys.
They're here.
They are so here.
They are here.
We looked, we tested, and they're here.
They're here, and they're breathing out of their asses.
So hard.
So hard. more environmental DNA was detected in the Broken and Bowen tributary rivers located above the dam than below it, meaning the dam is affecting the turtle population, but they are still making it work by distributing themselves accordingly.
How? I mean, like, of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course a turtle that has evolved to breathe through its butt knows a thing or two about how to fucking share.
That's right.
How to fucking share. We could learn a lot.
Yeah.
From this turtle. They shared the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
They found a new way to live.
It's really incredible.
They accepted each other.
And of course it's Steve Irwin's turtle.
Of course.
Of course. Steve Irwin's turtle is teaching us it's good to breathe out of your ass and it's good to share.
Yeah. And it's
incredible.
You know, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
Yeah. So some good news here, folks. So please sleep tight tonight knowing Steve Irwin's turtles are doing okay.
I won't sleep tight tonight. but it's not because the turtles are doing great. It's because of everything else. If everything was more like these turtles,
yeah,
I could sleep.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. So thank you for listening, rating, subscribing, singing internally.
Yes.
Singing externally.
Yes.
Singing with your friends.
Yes.
And
breathing through your butt.
And breathing We're through trying. Your butt. Give it a shot.
Don't try it too hard. Don't hurt yourself.
And please, stay interesting.
Please do.